Can you smell that? I think I've left a bridge in the oven. My topic at last year's session needed to be handled carefully, so I read from the script, and well, here we go again. In April, I resigned from Rowley to pursue a more intentionally fragmented career. My reasons aside, Rowley entered this talk only because the day I gave my notice, I received an email from California, and that coincidence begins this story. The weeks that followed included hours of transatlantic phone calls, some easy, some hard. I spoke to audio-famous people, the kind who have Wikipedia pages that they didn't write themselves. But these people had achieved a lot in their careers before taking a corporate vow of silence and retreating from the world. In June, arrangements were made to fly me to San Francisco on the promise that I was about to meet a team of great people. I asked a bit more about these people. That information, even how many of them there would be, was classified. To paraphrase, however, my brain contained something they might want to borrow, and what this might be was a mystery then and remains a mystery now. They told me next to nothing, and joy of joys, gave me nothing to sign. At the first of what turned out to be 8 interviews, the opening question I was asked was, would you please leave the building and come back in 45 minutes? This set the tone. The original itinerary was filleted to a fine mist, and I was passed from hand to hand and back again, parked periodically on the sofa in reception to improve my acquaintance with armed security guards. The project coming together in the building around me was clearly a vast skunk works, and I tried to piece together the details. I asked questions, naturally. What united cinematic colourists and a recently acquired spatial audio company? Why was a very expensive corporate headquarters 2 miles away missing them? Why the hell, with all this talent on tap, would you fly a man over 5,000 miles only to do so little with him? And that information was classified. One of my interviewers was a co-founder and former CTO of a company that you've definitely heard of. On LinkedIn, his job title is now just a dash. I've been interviewed by a person who makes a living as a pregnant pause. He played bad cop, treating my lack of big corporate experience as a calculated affront to his dignity. One of his opening questions was why my career at Rowley had run in reverse. That is harsh, but actually fair. I prepared more than one answer to that on the plane over. And 5 years after playing a central role getting their first few products out of the door, and 4 job title changes later, nobody really knew what I was doing there anymore, least of all me. I didn't tell him, although it's true, that I was really after his job as a punctuation character. Underscoring even those interviews that went well was a familiar note of crisis. Behind the scenes, phenomenal rank was being pulled. I quietly added some marginal notes to the chapter part of my narcissism textbook. Okay, so pencil sketch. The well of technology is looking somewhat dry in recent years. For want of a better plan, everything's now driven by engagement data. Big tech is researching the psychological equivalent of crack cocaine while waiting to see if its competitors have any better ideas. And little does VC-backed companies have a very similar problem. Without long-term trends, a long-term plan cannot be made to stick, so you just grab the first thing you can like everyone else's. And what I saw in California talking to this pattern extends as high and as wide as the eye can see. For my entertainment, one of the smarter corners of one of the world's wealthiest companies was candidly panicking its arse off about the kind of capital it could find down the back of an old armchair. You don't stay rich by not speculating, but a pet project like this is always safe for executives to meddle. As my first day in California drew to a close, I got to hang out with 10 of my would-be colleagues. 10 was the number. This started well, but went on until somewhat past 4 a.m. London time. My peripheral vision had started to fade. They were all called Steve. I ate from the mouth up and was numb from the chin down. Halfway through the second day, I was told the job title I was interviewing for. I learned that I was in the frame because I'd spoken quite well at the conference some years previously. And not for the first time, I was genuinely impressed that any company had the capacity to review notes going back so far. But I was no less confused about the action they had taken as a consequence. And then, when I got home, nothing. My wife climbed a wall, fretting about a change of continent while I periodically poked at the anthill across the pond. 4 weeks later, I was informed the bad cop had the casting vote and I was out of the running for a position I hadn't even applied for. Not to worry though, they were scratching around for other opportunities. I think I was used as a rubber duck. They spent 2 days talking to me to teach themselves how to rescue their own project. A friend of mine, insisting from the start that I should dodge this bullet, showed me a page from a TechLeaks website. There I found a plausible explanation in the public domain about what they were doing and accounted for the people I'd met. One morning, nearly 2 months after my trip, I woke to a weirdly terse email from the person who'd first made contact. I'm sorry, but our plans do not include you. But by then, of course, the feeling was fucking mutual.
Thank you, man. And I also would like to especially thank the heroic efforts of the AP team, who are doing all the switching.